So without any further ado, the first case to be heard is number 2015-713, Orange City School District Board of Education versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. The appellant is Hayes and Match LLC, and arguing the case this morning is Mr. Lindholm. Yes, he's on the other side. All right. Please present your argument, Mr. Lindholm.
Thank you. And good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jason Lindholm. I'm with Siegel Jennings, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant property owner, Hayes and Match, LLC. And I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal, if I may. Mm-hmm. In this case, we have a small business owner who purchased a car wash that included non-real estate items that the BTA decided they should be taxed on. The purchase price of $900,000 had been instituted for the 2009 triennial from a previous case, which the school board appealed to the BTA when the board revision granted a decrease to that value, but the BOE later voluntarily withdrew their appeal. When the 2012 reappraisal valued the subject property at $899,500 in fair market value, based on the prior case or close to it, the school board filed on the recorded sale value of $951,776 that took place in February of 2012. The court's aware through the briefs in this matter what the main point of contention is involving the non-real estate items that were involved with the sale. The owner believes that the vast majority of the value included in the transaction should be taxed, but does not believe that the rent arrearages, which they would have had to pay whether the property sold or not, should be included as part of the transaction. The owner believes that an important point here is if the right of first refusal was not exercised, no transfer would have taken place, and the $51,776 amount attributed to the past due rent payments and what's called the net rent differential as described in the briefs would still have to have been paid. There was testimony by the owner at the Board of Revision that describes the rent payments. The lease also describes the rent payments and arrearages. The Board of Revision reviewed that testimony, reviewed the documentary evidence, and agreed that the rent payments did not represent the fair market value of the real estate. It's clear, based on the property owner's arguments, that there were intangible items transferred, and there was support in the record, both through the owner's testimony and the documentary evidence, that the $51,776 amount represented the rent arrearages. An important point the property owner believes should be made to the court this morning, and was also noted in the briefs, is that if this property were to be placed on the open market, that rent arrearage doesn't increase its value by that amount, or approximately $52,000 in market value. The law, in the property owner's opinion, is well settled with regard to personal property not being taxed as real property. The BTA did not thoroughly examine the lease, in the property owner's opinion, nor did they thoroughly address the testimony of the property owner as it relates to those issues. The property owner isn't obligated to break out these personal property items on a conveyance fee statement. They presented corroborating evidence in the record that supports those arguments, and the Bedford case that's cited in the property owner's briefs states that the burden to prove non-real estate assets were involved in a sale breaking out into an allocation is not a heavy one.
Let me ask you a question. If instead of the lessee exercising its option to purchase the property, had walked away from that option and also tried to walk away from the back rent that was being built into that option price, and then a third party comes along and purchases the property for $951,000 on the theory that the seller says, well, I was willing to sell it for $900,000 to the other guy, but I need you to pay the back rent too, because otherwise I'm out. Would the $951,000 be the value of the property in that instance?
I don't believe so, because I still believe, although that would be part of negotiations, that's still personal property. That's still an intangible. How they want to break that out in a purchase contract, how they want to break that out in their sale documents is obviously up to them. But it's obviously it's involved in the negotiations. In this case, that $52,000 would still have to be paid whether or not they invoke that right of first refusal, whether or not they purchase the property. So, of course, that could be included in negotiations, but my argument would be that it would still be personal property, it'd still be an intangible value if that information was included in the purchase, was negotiated on. And the BTA, in the opinion of the property owner, was also in error in reversing the decision of the board revision, as there was competent and probative evidence to support the board revision's decision. Board of Education offered nothing to rebut this evidence. They only appealed to the BTA. They did not present any evidence at the BTA. They did file a short brief, was my understanding. It's a position of the property owner that the Board of Education did not meet its burden at the BTA, as it presented no evidence, nor did it appear at the BTA hearing. It's the property owner's argument that the Board of Education and the BTA could phrase the language of the sale documents however they wish. As noted, three separate elements in the BTA decision and also as described in the briefs. But the fact remains that non-real estate items transferred when the property transferred. And this property owner and no other property owner should be taxed on those items, even if there were 5 separate elements, 10 separate elements included within that purchase agreement. The example used in the appellant's reply brief, I believe, makes the point succinctly. If this was a car wash that transferred, if car wax and other cleaning supplies were included in that purchase contract, should the owner be taxed on that for real estate tax purposes because they included that amount on the conveyance fee statement? It doesn't make logical sense and puts form over substance in the opinion of the property owner. The BTA didn't look at this carefully. They did not address the lease in detail. They did not address the testimony of the property owner in detail at the board of revision. And the law regarding non-taxation of intangible items or other personal property is well settled. And the property owner believes that the board of revision's decision of $900,000 should be upheld and that the BTA's decision should be reversed. One last item I would note is that there were 2 cases cited in the briefs by the appellant property owner where personal property deductions were allowed by this court, and those items were not listed on the conveyance fee statement. That was a subpoena case and also the Hillier case. There's nothing further at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lindholm. Is it Desimon?
Yes.
Okay.
Master Commissioner, may it please the court. I'm John Desimon, representing the Eppley, the Orange Board of Education. The Eppley's, having filed a joint brief, I will be presenting the entire argument for the County Eppley's and the Board of Education. Now, the only issue in this case is how much was paid for the real property at stake. What's notable, unlike a lot of cases, there's no dispute that it was at arm's length. There's no dispute that it was recent, even with respect to the 2009 negotiation time and the set forth in the Second Amendment to the lease. There's no dispute that there was no tangible personal property that went with the sale. Now, the total consideration that was marked on the deed and that was the transfer tax was paid on was the $951,776. I believe this is purely a factual question that the BTA examined the record before it and determined that the entire $951,776 was for the real property.
What about Mr. Lindholm's point that that this is analogous to a situation where there is tangible personal property, that what we have here is discharging this previous rent debt, and maybe that's even sort of an intangible asset that's separate from the realty.
To my mind, this is different than, let me start that again. I agree that if there is tangible personal property that did exist, that was there, that transferred with it, that should be deducted. I think St. Bernard stood for that. When you have an intangible, like we do in this case, a claim of an intangible, it gets more difficult, gets more into like a goodwill situation where they tend not to be deducted.
Well, but in the St. Bernard case, wasn't the problem was that there had been no proof adduced to support the allocation to goodwill, whereas here there is certainly is at least some evidence that that this amount of money pertains to the back rent.
That's correct. Well, I believe that actually what happened in this case, this is more analogous to they created this option to purchase back in 2009. They could buy it by 2012. Hayes and Match could buy it by 2012. It was a base price of $900,000 plus an adjustable amount. And the adjustable amount was the $6,000 per month less whatever was paid plus $9,776. Now, that exact amount was not known up front because it was charged by the month or the partial month. Now, whether you call it for rent, whether you call it for some tangible or intangible property, essentially, I believe that the contract was negotiated in 2009. So I believe a better argument would be it was simply too remote, but that argument has never been made for the 1112. I believe that they paid the 950 round numbers, $952,000, and for that 952, they got title to the property. Without paying that amount of money, they would not have gotten the property. If that answers your question. Now, the issue was brought up regarding the Bedford rule in this case also, and I don't believe that applies to this matter. Unlike in Bedford, the PTA did not reinstate the auditor's value finding. There was no evidence to support the Board of Revision decision, or they disagreed with the evidence that supported the Board of Revision decision. In this case, the PTA looked at the same evidence that the Board of Revision did and decided on a value that was different from both the Board of Revision and the fiscal officer. They did what they were supposed to do. They independently weighed the record. There was also discussion regarding the 2009 case. I'm sorry, the 2009, the decision that came out from the Board Revision in 2011. My understanding on that case, it was before I was dealing with this, but I believe it was shown that first, most importantly, the sale had not yet occurred when that Board Revision decision came down. Now, there may have been a contract for sale. The lease was in existence. But a contract or a lease in existence is not the same thing as an actual sale. The sale did not happen at 12. I also believe there's an issue of waiver, as I set forth in my brief. But that is set forth in the brief plainly. I think what we're looking here at today is a straightforward sale of property for $951,776. How the parties reached that dollar amount is immaterial. All parties have reasons for why they're going to meet a sale price. They might not have known the exact number in 2009, but they certainly knew it in 2012 when it transferred. Hayes and Match paid $951 and change, and they got title to the property. I believe the BTA correctly reviewed the contract, correctly cited the contract and quoted it, and value the property at $951,000 at this full sale price. Unless there's questions from the court, I have nothing else.
Thank you, Mr. Desimone. Mr. Lindholm, you have reserved 8 minutes and 10 seconds.
Thank you. Counsel for the school board did mention an argument about no matter the timing of the transfer. Honestly, I don't believe that matters here. I think that you still, no matter the timing of when that personal property or the rent arrearages was first looked at by the parties in the lease, that was, I think, within 3 years of when the property transferred. But no matter the timing of it, I believe the court still has to look at what actually transferred. And the Board of Education has not produced any evidence in this case other than sale documents. Again, they did not appear at the Board of Tax Appeals. And there was a hearing at the Board of Revision where the property owner testified to all of this information. There is corroborating evidence in the record, similar to the other cases that have been decided by this court, to show that there was, whether it's tangible or intangible, it was personal property that was involved with this sale. There's the lease, there's that evidence, all that information was looked at by the County Board of Revision at that time, and they decided on the $900,000 sale price. They had looked at it before. Whether or not the sale had actually taken place, I believe, is immaterial. They had the same information in front of them in that 2009 case, and they decided that the $900,000 should apply. Therefore, it's the property owner's belief that there is sufficient evidence in the record to support the breakout of the rent arrearages in the sale. Other than that, I don't have anything further.
Is there a level on which the court should defer to the BTA here, or you're saying it's a question of law, that it's just a legal error?
I believe they just did not look at the record thoroughly enough or examine it thoroughly enough. If you look at their decision, they don't talk about any of the owner's testimony. They do acknowledge that the owner appeared at the Board of Revision, but they don't discuss what he testified to. They don't go into any of the details as to why these rent arrearages were addressed by the parties. And you know, again, as I mentioned before, it's the property owner's contention that this is form over substance. They just say it comprises three separate elements. I don't know what the basis in law for that is. To me, there could be many, many different elements, but if it's still non-real estate items, if it's still personal property, that should not be included in the sale price. And this is not a situation where the property owner didn't appear at a hearing, where there was just a couple of documents submitted. There was evidence submitted, not just in this case, but also in the 2009 case, where the same information was put in front of the County Board of Revision. Board of Revision decided on that $900,000 value. The school board appealed that decision, but then later withdrew that appeal. So I believe there are multiple cases here where that $900,000 value was looked at by the Board of Revision.
Okay.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lindholm. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.